All right. Been hearing about this all week. Next thing I'm going to do, channel my inner Fred Rogers. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day for the neighborhood. Mark Clark was telling me as we were sitting right over here a few minutes ago that on a Saturday executive board meeting, one of the officers showed up on Saturday wearing a pair of jeans and was told by another member of the executive team, "I can't imagine a set of circumstances when it's inappropriate for an officer of the church to wear jeans." So, I think you'd be in trouble. Okay, I have two wonderful opening lines to this sermon, and it was difficult for me to choose which one. So I'm going to give you both, and you pick, and we'll move forward from there. No, not you. I'm just all of you. Really very power hungry. You're probably hard to get back. Okay, the first is, I'm beginning a journey from Philippi to Galatia. That's option one. Option two, I'm beginning a journey from Philippi to Galatia. That's option one. Option two is, it's actually a question. Do you know what my greatest challenge in ministry is? Where would you like this sermon to begin? The second one, do we have consensus on that? All right, so we'll start with that. Do you want to know what my greatest challenge in ministry is? It's finding a way to yes. And by suggesting my greatest challenge, I don't mean to suggest that it's my biggest, hardest to accomplish challenge. What I mean is it's my best challenge. It's the challenge that once completed has the potential to produce the greatest outcome for the greatest good. I think that's true of all of us engaged in ministry, ordained or lay. It doesn't matter. It's finding a way to yes. It's understanding that the Holy Spirit moves with a force of invitation and challenges us in those prayerful times of discernment to reflect on where it is the Spirit is asking us to go. And once we get a sense of that, either as individuals or collectively, to trust that the Spirit would not invite us onto that journey without the hope of being taken care of along the way and of accomplishing something that we would have never imagined possible ourselves. And our greatest challenge in ministry is finding the way to yes when the Spirit calls. I was mentored early in ministry by a disciples pastor. His name was Larry Snow. He's a brilliant man and a passionate evangelist. And he used to say to me, "John, in all of our lives as ministers, the Spirit opens windows of opportunity. But those windows don't stay open forever." And he was sharing this with me because I had been called to what has been, I think, my most difficult challenge in ministry, my hardest yes, both for me and for the congregation. First Congregational in Lebanon, Missouri. Is Howard Schenck still here, by the way? Howard Schenck. There he is. I would not have been in Lebanon, Missouri, but for Howard Schenck. Now, you think that's a compliment to him. It is not. To this day, Mimi hasn't forgiven him. I didn't see what Howard saw. It literally took me 3 years into my ministry at First Congregational in Lebanon, Missouri, to see what Howard saw. And for me to own my call there, So it was hard for me to get to yes. And it was hard for them to get to yes. And I was struggling with that. I had just left the church where after I preached my first open and affirming sermon, the challenge to stay became real. And the prospect of splitting that church became real. And I didn't want to be the cause of any church's split. The church's health is far more important than anything I might want or need. And so I made a decision to leave. And I actually, at First Congregational in Lebanon, Missouri, preached my open and affirming at my trial sermon. It was hard for them to get to yes. And that's when Larry Snow said to me, "You were brought here for a purpose and a window has opened. And your only responsibility is to point to the window. And they may accept the invitation and they may not. And you have to keep an open mind to whether or not they go. And if the window closes, it closes and you will move on to another place. My greatest challenge in ministry is getting to yes." And it's no good getting there on your own, right? There's no point in that. And one of the great challenges in ministry is acting in ways that don't alienate people before they're ready to say yes, right? But to keep them moving on that pathway with you as long as the window stays open. All of that is to say, this has been, on both sides of the coin, my easiest yes. Saying yes to the invitation to come here and accept the call to lead the Southwest Conference was far and away my easiest yes. And I discovered soon after I got here, now this statement I'll back up with the remembrance and observation that I spent 8 years in a Catholic seminary. All right? So I get Catholic guilt. And I get the call to penitent sacrifice to atone for guilt, right? In order to reduce my sentence in purgatory. I get that. So it was the case that for 20 years in Missouri, as I answered the Spirit's yeses, and committed myself in ministry to those things that I was most passionate about, I thought it was my sacrifice to endure the crap that came along with that, right? In 2005, when the United Church of Christ became the first religious body to affirm marriage equality, I was the low person on the totem pole on the Missouri Mid-South Conference staff who had to stay home and watch the office while the big girls went to play. So I was the first one to get the phone call. Oh, phone calls about how ungodly and heathen we were and the threats to cut OCWM, if not pull their church entirely out of the denomination. And so for the next 6 months, I and members of the staff and General Synod delegates from the Missouri Mid-South Conference traveled to church after church after church and just watched them try to extract a pound of flesh from somebody. And that was 20 years of ministry. And because of my Catholic guilt, I just thought this was the price you pay for being faithful to what the Spirit calls you to be until I said yes to coming and serving here in the Southwest Conference. It's a lot different thing on the Monday morning after Pride Parade to get a call from somebody saying, "Why wasn't our conference minister at the Pride Parade?" To stand on the floor of your first annual meeting when we took our O&A vote and watch as only 8 people voted no and only 1 person came to the microphone to speak against it, and the moderator literally had to shut down debate because nobody else was willing to speak against the motion. And when that person came to the microphone, they apologized for what they were going to say, knowing that it would offend many in the room, but saying, "I have to represent my point of view." And then I watched after the vote was taken as person after person after person went up and embraced that person and thanked them for where they were on their journey. This was an easy yes for me. And I have been amazed at how through the years that I have been here, I've kept inviting you to step further and further and further out of your comfort zone. And you have been the easiest group to get to yes. I hope you're proud of that. I hope that whoever follows in leadership continues to challenge you and you continue to trust not them, but the Holy Spirit who invites us on these journeys and trusts that if we partner with her, she will remain with us and unbelievable things will happen.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
You are the people of yes. You are, and now I'm going to get to my second line, you are my Philippi. And I'm on a journey right now from Philippi to Galatia. To give you a sense of what I mean by that, I'm going to reread the first few verses of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and then I'm going to read the same number of verses from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We'll see if at the end of these readings you can tell which community Paul was happy with and which community he was unhappy with. Chapter 1, Philippians, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank my God every time I remember you. Constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. And it is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. Right? Paul begins all of these letters with greetings like that, salutations. And so we come to Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God. To whom be glory forever and ever, amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you to want to pervert the gospel of Christ. You've made this easy for me. You are my Philippi. I thank God every time I think of you because you carry forth the true meaning and message of Christ's extravagant love to all. And you do it with such passion, such ease, and such grace. And wherever I go from this point forward, I will remember you and hold you deeply and dearly in my heart. It's a rough journey from Philippi to Galatia. I love Galatia as much as I love Philippi. But the yeses from this point forward are going to be harder and harder to come by. The Spirit is no less inviting and no less challenging on this journey than she was here in Philippi. And I will try as hard as I can to be as faithful to my yeses as she needs me to be. But there are some challenges ahead. Whatever it is I'm called to do or be, I can tell you this. I needed my Philippi. I needed you to teach me what's possible when we respond faithfully to a Holy Spirit who is not abandoned and will not abandon the church. I needed to know what's possible when people are inspired to risk and to give and to commit with passion to proclaiming the gospel of extravagant welcome. And you have allowed me to dream things that I didn't think were possible. I'm going to confess something to you. I'm not so sure that saying yes to Lebanon was my hardest yes. So I'm letting you off the hook, Howard Shane.
But I'm not.
Why did I marry that woman? The truth is, it was about 4, maybe 5 years ago that a team of people came to me and asked me when the time opened up if I would put my name in for GMP, and I said no. I was very clear about that. The biggest reason for that was how easy you had made ministry for me here, and it really wasn't about how easy you made it. That was part of it. Part of it was I was seeing what together we could do, not just to reshape the Southwest Conference. That's not what this is about. You know that. What we have done here collectively is show the church what's possible when we risk partnering with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to retire from this place. I wanted us to keep walking this journey and showing not just the United Church of Christ, not just the body of Christ, but the world what could happen when we commit to changing lives, when we commit to working together for the common good. And I said no more than once. This was my hardest yes. But what they helped me to realize is that what you did was prepare me for another calling. Prepare me to take what we've experienced here and show the church what's possible when we trust the movement of a Holy Spirit that has not yet to this day abandoned us and who imagines a future in which we matter. That's what this is about. You are my Philippi. And I will not leave the Southwest Conference. I will simply expand the boundaries of its capacity. So I really only have one word to say in closing, and that is thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. And whatever happens from this point forward happens because you made it possible.